From NPR News, this is live coverage of the 2008 Iowa caucuses.
From Dubuque to Sioux City, Iowans have had their say. And it's Mike Huckabee for the Republicans and Barack Obama for the Democrats.
The presidential campaign that began over a year ago finally has its first results. Strong evangelical support easily lifted Huckabee over Mitt Romney.
Close behind, Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Edwards.
Coming up in this hour, we'll go to Mike Huckabee headquarters in Des Moines, and also to headquarters for the Obama campaign. We'll go inside some of the caucus sites and get analysis from across the state.
Live coverage of the 2008 Iowa caucuses from NPR News. From NPR News, this is live coverage of the 2008 Iowa caucuses. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. We are covering the results of the Iowa caucuses. Again, on the Democratic side, Barack Obama, the projected winner with about 37% of the vote. On the Republican side, it is Mike Huckabee, the former governor of Arkansas, handily winning over Mitt Romney. And we're going to go first in Des Moines to Obama headquarters and to our colleague Michelle Norris. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Melissa.
And what's going on there?
Well, I hope you can hear me. In the background, what you're hearing are chants of Obama 08. They rise and they fall. There's someone leading the cheers, waiting for Obama to get here. He's actually making his way here from the hotel where he was watching the results with his family. There are a lot of very, very happy people here. I'm sitting in an area where the supporters are starting to enter the building, and they're, you know, they were walking sort of a quick pace, and now they're literally sort of running past me to get into this room. A lot of excitement in here.
And when might the candidate be showing up?
Well, we're told momentarily. Who knows exactly what that means? So we're on standby and waiting for him to get here. And, you know, I've had a chance to actually talk to some of the people who worked on the campaign. And they're noting that as they were traveling around the state in the last 24 hours in these last rallies and actually reaching out to voters, that they sensed that something special was going on. As I've told you, they're careful not to use this word victory, but they do talk a lot about history being made, and it's really important to take stock of what happened here tonight. A political newcomer, some might even say an upstart, has just made history in a few ways by really focusing on new caucus goers, and not just focusing on them, but getting them to show up and to speak up at the caucuses. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, someone who was not well known outside of the state of Illinois, and the fact that this is an African-American, first African-American, mm-hmm. to, you know, take the top spot at the Iowa caucus.
And I'm sure
in several ways.
If they're not talking about victory, they may well be talking about momentum heading into New Hampshire and beyond.
You know, momentum, but, you know, for a campaign that really has a lot to crow about right now, the chief strategist, David Axelrod, is about the calmest guy I've ever seen in this kind of situation. He's still talking about some of the challenges that the campaign faces. They're looking ahead to New Hampshire. I actually have David Axelrod right here with me right now. And, Melissa, I'd like to bring him into the conversation if that's okay. David Axelrod is with us. And if you could just step in here, sir. When might we actually see Senator Obama show up here and speak to his supporters?
Well, I think pretty soon. I actually was en route to trying to get an answer to that question when I got diverted over here. So obviously I think he wants to speak to folks as soon as he can.
Well, we're glad that you did get diverted over here. What do you think in the end gave you the edge? We were watching the results come in so early in the evening. It was so close. You know, all three front runners right in the low 30s. And then at the end, Barack Obama pulled it out.
Well, Michelle, part of that is an artifact of how the votes are counted here. The votes come in from the smaller precincts first, and those tend to be small rural precincts, which are stronger areas for Senator Clinton and Senator Edwards. I mean, what was surprising to us, and when we knew that we were going to have a great night, was we didn't think we had as much strength there as they did, and we were holding our own even as those early precincts came in. We knew that when the larger precincts came in later, from some of the suburban and urban areas, that we were going to pile up some votes. So I think the bigger issue is, you know, this turnout, which is just astonishing. Maybe as much as 100,000 more voters participated than a year ago, almost doubling the previous record for attendance in the caucuses. I just think it speaks to the hunger people have for change in this country. And I think the fact that they chose Obama in larger numbers speaks to the kind of change they want. They want a leader who's going to bring people together, who's going to push back on the special interests, but in a constructive way, and who's going to level with the American people, be honest about the challenges we face and what it will require to meet them. And So that's the change they're looking for.
David, one last quick question to you about the challenges you face, the campaign faces now in New Hampshire. You spent a lot of time in Iowa building an on-the-ground organization, not as much time in the state of New Hampshire. What challenges
do you face? Michelle, I think if folks think that, they're going to be surprised, because we have a superb organization in New Hampshire, and I think it's very much in the same...
gave this remarkable speech.
So what should you do? If you stay with me, I'll stay with you till the last dog dies.
Obviously, they're having a technical problem, some crossed lines there.
That was our colleague Michelle Norris at the Obama headquarters, along with David Axelrod of the Obama campaign in Des Moines.
Now, some of the words that Michelle used to describe Barack Obama, a newcomer and upstart, could apply to the leader in the Republican caucus as well. Mike Huckabee is the winner in that race. He's a newcomer. He's an upstart, and he wasn't given much of a chance a few months ago. The former Arkansas governor, though, has bested former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. Our Ina Jaffe is at Huckabee headquarters for this caucus night in Des Moines. And Ina, any word on when the candidate might appear there? Ina Jaffe is at Huckabee headquarters in Des Moines. And do we have any sense of when Governor Huckabee might appear?
Well, we've been told soon, of course, but right now, just about the time you and I began speaking, Ed Rollins, his campaign strategist, took the stage, and so he's addressing the crowd right now. So I imagine maybe before not too long, Governor Huckabee will be down to address his supporters.
How do they describe this first-place finish for Huckabee?
Well, they seem very pleased, but not all that surprised. I think they felt more confident than maybe even they were letting on in the last couple of days. This is from Chip Saltzman, Huckabee's national campaign chair. And he spoke to reporters a little bit earlier. And he was saying that they were just getting really good feedback, that their crowds gradually grew and grew and grew and grew the entire time they were campaigning in Iowa, that... people thought that he was sort of below the radar, but it was because, you know, his crowd started out 15, 20 people in somebody's home until they were certainly much, much different than that in the later days of the campaign.
That's NPR's Ina Jaffe, who is at the headquarters this caucus night of former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. After more than a year of presidential campaigning, the citizens of Iowa this evening became the first Americans to formally voice their preferences in the 2008 race. Among Republicans, Mike Huckabee, with 72% of the state's precincts reporting, holds a 34% lead over former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who has 25%. It's 34-25, rather. And for the Democrats, with 92% or more of precincts reporting, Barack Obama came in ahead of New York Senator Hillary Clinton and former North Carolina Senator John Edwards.
And among those second and third finishers there, John Edwards and Hillary Clinton, both hovering right around 29, just under 30%, mm-hmm. just tenths of a percentage point apart. NPR's David Green is at the Hotel Fort Des Moines Grand Ballroom in Des Moines, Iowa. He is covering the Iowa results for New York Senator Hillary Clinton. And David, if these results hold, almost second, but not quite, she could be coming in third. How does the Clinton campaign spin that?
We spoke to Mo Alathy, who's a Clinton campaign spokesman here in Iowa, a short while ago, and he wasn't conceding anything, but we were starting to get a sense of the message. He said there was huge turnout, which he didn't say was a problem for Hillary Clinton, but it appears that might have helped Barack Obama a great deal, because the Democratic turnout was very significant. And he was saying that Hillary Clinton has always said that Iowa was just the beginning and not the end, and that they are ready to hit the reset button in New Hampshire. So, this was the candidate, Hillary Clinton, who at times looked like the inevitable front runner, who was going, it was just a matter of time before she got the Democratic nomination. Iowa became a major proven ground, and, this is certainly going to be a setback, but, you know, the presidents have won the general election without Iowa, and they're going to move on. And in Nashua, New Hampshire, early tomorrow morning, former President Bill Clinton will be appearing with Hillary Clinton, and they'll try to get things moving in that state.
There had been criticism of the Clinton campaign saying that she just really didn't understand how to work Iowa. Do you think that was legitimate?
It's hard to say. The strategy seemed to change at times. You know, likability was always a problem for Hillary Clinton here from the beginning. It seemed a challenge in the end. For a while, the message from the campaign was was mostly experience, and that she's the person who's ready to be president, hit the ground running. And in the final weeks, you know, a strategy to try and humanize her started to come back. She almost seemed to be reintroducing herself to Iowa very late in the game. And you know, Melissa, you talk to a lot of Iowa caucus-goers and Iowans who came out to all of these events. A lot of them said they liked what they heard from Hillary Clinton. They believed that she was likable personally to them. They were just so worried that at a time when they really want the Democratic Party to take back the White House, whether she would come across as likable to some more moderate independent voters in a general election.
Okay, David, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's NPR's David Greene at Hillary Clinton headquarters in Des Moines.
Andy Kohut of the Pew Research Center is with us in our studio in Washington. Andy, you've been poring over the polls that were taken today of pretty large samples, actually, of caucusgoers on both sides. First of all, to you, what's the most striking fact that sticks out for you?
I've been mulling over, thinking about this going forward, I've been mulling over the gender gap on the Democratic side. Hillary and Clinton and Barack Obama ran about even among women. She didn't do really well among women, but she at least tied Obama. Mm-hmm. But among men, she only got 23% of the voters in this entrance poll compared to 34% for Obama. Does that mean that does this reflect likability? Is that does she have a problem with women with men that will extend to the next place?
And we should say that's a gender gap within the Democratic caucuses.
Within the Democratic
caucuses. To begin
caucus.
With, the population of Democratic caucusgoers
was heavily female.
Heavily female.
56%, and not different than what we saw four years ago. That I think, is has some potential for concern for the Clinton campaign. The other thing on the Republican side, we've talked a lot about how strongly, how much the evangelical Christians were responsible for Huckabee's election. But he won the support of poor Republicans. You know, Republicans it's a bigger tent party. And among the people who earned less than $50,000 a year, Huckabee won by a 36% to 18% margin. Among those earning more than $50,000, it was 28-29 Huckabee to Romney. So there is a potential class issue as well as a religion issue. Obviously, they probably play off one another. But those are two of the things that have struck me in looking at these exit polls.
But when you look at, first of all, the reports of an unprecedented turnout for the Democratic caucuses, a high turnout and rather low turnout for the Republican caucuses, and then seeing which groups are represented to what degree in both exit poll samples, it would seem to be, I mean, obviously the Democrats are concerned about who's first and who's second, but they have to be pretty happy with what they're seeing so far in Iowa.
Absolutely. 22% of the Democratic voters were under 30. Only 10% of the Republican voters were under 30. And that may say something about the general election to come, the lack of enthusiasm that younger voters have for the Republican Party. And we don't want to project too much from Iowa. Mm-hmm. Iowa's Iowa. But some of these patterns are fascinating.
And there's a stunning comparison between, on the Democratic side, the Obama and Clinton voters in broad age groups, 17 to 29, 29 to whatever, 35. As they get older, Hillary Clinton did much, much better. And as they were younger, Barack Obama did much better.
Yeah, but Hillary Clinton only won one age group, people over 65 years of age. She had a 45% to 17% win over Obama. But in every other, among middle-aged people, she basically tied Obama. And Obama won among younger voters, among people under 40, 30 to 44, and convincingly among the under 30s who turned out at unusually high rates.
Andrew Kohut of Pew Research, thank you very much.
We're awaiting a speech in Des Moines from former Senator John Edwards, and when he begins speaking, we will try to bring you that. But first, we're going to go to NPR's Scott Horsley at Mitt Romney headquarters. Scott, what are you hearing about this result tonight? Mitt Romney going down to Mike Huckabee by a margin of about 34% to 25%.
You know, Melissa, it's interesting listening to Andy Kohut talk about that earnings gap between the supporters. Having spent a couple of days now with Romney and Huckabee supporters here in Iowa, there's also a sort of a passion gap. And the Huckabee supporters I've visited with have all been very committed, very passionate about their candidate, whereas the Romney supporters were still sort of bathing in data, as Romney himself might say. I spoke with several here at Romney headquarters who decided only in the last couple of days, in some cases as late as this morning, that they were going to cast their votes for Governor Romney, and obviously not as many of them did as the governor would have liked.
Mm-hmm. And now is he, do you consider thinking ahead to John McCain in New Hampshire, far more of a threat than Mike Huckabee?
Well, very much so. And, of course, the Romney camp is trying to put the best face on this. His campaign spokesman, Kevin Madden, said just a few moments ago that Governor Romney has been playing three-dimensional chess while the other candidates are playing checkers. The suggestion there being that, for example, Huckabee won the checkers match here in Iowa but won't be saying king me anywhere else. The Romney camp is hoping to do well in New Hampshire because they think the Republicans there are perhaps more fiscally conservative as opposed to the social conservatives and especially evangelicals who dominated the GOP caucuses here in Iowa. And that's where the Romney message might play considerably better than the Huckabee message. But, of course, as you say, he's going to be looking right into the strength there of John McCain.
You know, I'm going to bring up a name that we've virtually not mentioned tonight, and that is Rudy Giuliani, who bypassed Iowa pretty much entirely, not entirely, but almost, and has not been spending a lot of time in New Hampshire. He's been focusing on a whole different strategy, focusing really on Florida and states not voting on Super Tuesday.
Well, that's sort of again...
Scott, I'm sorry. I asked you that question. I'm not going to give you a chance to answer it. We're going to go now to former Senator John Edwards in Des Moines.
People spoke up on her behalf by marching and picketing in front of her health insurance carrier. And finally, the insurance carrier caved in and agreed to pay for her operation. And when they notified the family just a few hours later, she died. She lost her life. Why? Why? James Lowe was born 51 years ago in the United States of America with a severe cleft palate, which kept him from being able to speak. And he lived for 50 years in the greatest, most prosperous nation on the planet, not able to speak because he didn't have health care coverage and couldn't pay for a simple operation. Why? Doug Bishop, who's actually behind me tonight, Doug and his family worked at the Maytag plant in Newton, Iowa. For generations, they worked, they sacrificed, they did everything you're supposed to do in America. And then recently this plant closed, and the jobs went overseas. Why? The reason is because corporate greed has got a stranglehold on America. And unless and until we have a president in the proud tradition of Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, who has a little backbone, who has some strength, who has some fight, who's willing to stand up to these people, nothing will change. We will never have the America that all of us dream of. The promise of America, which has been available to so many of us, will not be available to our children and our grandchildren. And I take this very personally. I watched my grandmother, who I loved dearly, work year after year after year in the mills. We lived in the same neighborhood. She would cook for us, leave the house, walk her way to the mill, work her shift, and come back home and take care of us again. My grandfather, who was partially paralyzed, would go to work the graveyard shift in that mill and come back in the morning when we'd have breakfast together. My father, who's here with me tonight, worked 36 years in the mills. Hard, tedious work. Why did he do it? Why did he struggle and sacrifice? Why did your parents and grandparents struggle and sacrifice? They did it so that you could have a better life. My parents did it so that I could have a better life. And we, all of us, to whom the torch has been passed, we carry an enormous responsibility. And that responsibility transcends politics and transcends elections. It's our responsibility to ensure that we leave America better than we found it, that we give our children a better life than we've had. And this is what I see in America today. I see in America where last year the CEO of one of the largest health insurance companies in America made hundreds of millions of dollars in 1 year. I see in America where ExxonMobil's profits were $40 billion just a couple of years ago. Record amounts, record profits. All of that happening at the same time that this picture of America emerges. Tonight, 47 million Americans will go to bed knowing that if their child gets sick, they'll have to go to the emergency room and beg for health care. Tomorrow morning, women will go to their doctor and be diagnosed with breast cancer, just like Elizabeth was. But unlike Elizabeth, they'll have no health care coverage. And as a result, they know that they can't go to the emergency room and get chemotherapy. What are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to do? You can literally see the fear and terror in their eyes. Tomorrow morning, 37 million of our own people will wake up literally worried about feeding and clothing their own children.
Former North Carolina Senator John Edwards, speaking to his supporters in Des Moines. Senator Edwards has come in just under 30% of the Democratic primary total, with all but 75 of the nearly 1,800 precincts in Iowa now counted. Barack Obama has polled more than or almost 38% of the total. And Hillary Clinton, at least for now, is in third place behind John Edwards by just
barely.
A half a percentage. Well, that could go either way. They're really neck and neck in second place. And over on the Republican side, a very strong showing by former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee running first over former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. We heard Senator Edwards giving his familiar speech about corporate greed in America, about the two Americas, about the inequalities in our country that he decries. And we expect fairly soon to be hearing from Senator Clinton, who will be addressing her supporters at her headquarters. And pride of place would go to Barack Obama, the first place finisher, to speak last. So we assume that he'll be the last of the Democrats we'll hear from. We have not heard yet from either either former Governor Romney or former Governor Huckabee speaking to his supporters.
John Edwards there with some of the people he was speaking about just then at his side, and also his wife, Elizabeth Edwards, who's been a strong campaigner on his behalf, as they now head toward New Hampshire in the primary on Tuesday.
One of the big facts, we won't really have the absolute numbers for a while, but it appears that the turnout on the Democratic side of the caucuses in Iowa has been extremely high, and the turnout on the Republican side rather disappointing, although perhaps a bit more than it was 4 years ago when President Bush faced no serious opposition. But that is one measure of where the enthusiasm was in Iowa, and within those two, a fairly close race on the Democratic side, with Barack Obama polling 7 points ahead of Edwards and Clinton, who appear to be neck and neck for second.
And I believe we have now Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa on the line, an active force in Iowa politics for many years. Do we have Senator Harkin? Senator Harkin, are you there?
Oh, hi, Melissa.
Hi, Senator Harkin. Good to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, yes.
Tell me your interpretation of the results tonight. We saw on the Democratic side in your party Barack Obama with quite a substantial lead, about 38% of the vote over John Edwards and Hillary Clinton, both at around 30%. What do you make of that?
Well, this is a great boost for Barack Obama, no doubt. The thinking was that the three of them would all be very closely tied. He opened some daylight, a lot of daylight, I think. The press will report that he's a big winner in Iowa, and I think that's true. However, don't count Clinton and Edwards out yet. You know, we go to New Hampshire now and other states. I still think you're looking at a three-way race out there between those three. I think after the next state or so, I think you'll be down to perhaps two people. And this might just boil down to a Obama-Clinton race in the Super Tuesday.
Isn't it, though, disappointing for Senator Clinton, and for that matter, Senator Edwards, who's been there for so long, to come in second? And wouldn't they each have a big stake in showing that they can win in Iowa?
Well, I think they all had a big stake. Obviously, I think John Edwards did, but he came in either second or third. We don't really know exactly how that's all going to filter out yet. He may be second and Clinton third. But nonetheless, Clinton has a lot of staying power. She has some funds. She's strong in other states. So I don't think this is quite over with yet.
Senator Harkin, we should say that you were officially neutral in this campaign. You have seen a lot of Iowa caucuses. Does this one strike you as different in some fundamental way?
I've been to every Iowa caucus since 1968, and I have never seen anything like the one this year. In fact, I just saw the tabulation here just a little bit ago, and it looks as though we'll have probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 225 to 230,000 caucus attenders. which will be it'll be about twice what we had 4 years ago, the biggest number ever.
You're talking about just on the Democratic side.
Mm-hmm. That's just on the Democratic side. I don't know what the Republican count is right now.
We're seeing an estimate of about 108,000 on the Republican side.
About 108,000,
yeah.
8,000. Well, that'll be good for them, too. So I think a lot of interest, and the one thing that's good from my side, obviously from the Democratic side, is that so many independents and first-time registered people came to the Democratic caucuses. We don't have the number yet, but we do know it was substantial and could be in the neighborhood of somewhere close to 30% to 40% of the caucus attenders were first-time and independents who came over. That might indicate a big move of independents toward the Democratic Party this year.
Senator Harkin, would you expect to see some of your colleagues in the Senate dropping out of this race? Chris Dodd, Joe Biden, do you think they are not long for this campaign?
Well, I don't know. I feel a little bad about it. I thought they were going to do better in Iowa than that. But it's because of the system here, the caucus system, they wound up without hardly anything coming out of the state of Iowa. So it looks as though they will not be able to continue. I think just money-wise, it would be very hard for them. They might take a shot in New Hampshire, but beyond that, I would think it would be very difficult for them to continue.
Okay, Senator Harkin, thanks very much. That's Senator Tom Harkin, Democrat of Iowa, speaking with us from Des Moines. We are waiting for a speech from Hillary Clinton, who is addressing her supporters in Des Moines. Let's listen to Senator Clinton.
Here we go to the Hotel Fort Des Moines, Grand Ballroom.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Standing behind Senator Clinton are Madeleine Albright, former President Bill Clinton.
Go right to New Hampshire tonight.
And obviously, that is not Senator Clinton addressing the.
We cannot explain what just happened to Senator Clinton.
We have no idea what that is. I guess we're not going to get the sound back from Hillary Clinton, but she's addressing her reporters and doing so in very animated, enthusiastic fashion. Our reporter David Green is there. David.
Hey guys, how are you?
Seems to be some cheering there for what may yet be a third place finish for Senator Clinton.
There is some cheering, and you talk to people who are in the audience listening to Hillary Clinton. They are clearly disappointed, but they are trying to put the best face on this and say that it was a good night for Democrats with so many caucusgoers turning out here in Iowa.
I think, David, we can actually hear Senator Clinton speaking
through your microphone.
Let's listen to her now.
...for change and have made it absolutely clear that America needs a new beginning. And I am as ready as I can be after having had this incredible experience here in Iowa, starting out a long time ago and making this journey with so many people who have become my friends and who I am so grateful for their hard work and support. Those from Iowa, those who have come from around the country, and the people who were there exceeding anybody's expectations about what it would mean to have the caucuses this year. I thank you. I thank each and every one of you for coming out and standing up for a Democrat. What is most important now is that as we go on with this contest, that we keep focused on the two big issues, that we answer correctly the questions that each of us has posed. How will we win in November 2008 by nominating a candidate who will be able to go the distance and who will be the best president on day one? I am ready for that contest. We have always planned to run a national campaign all the way through the early contests because I want the people of America, and particularly Democrats,
and like-minded independents and Republicans who have seen the light. To understand, number one, that the stakes are huge, that the job is enormous, but that I believe we're going to make the right decision. There will be a lot of people who will get involved as they have here in Iowa, of all ages. That is what we want, because we're not just trying to elect a president, we're trying to change our country. That is what I am committed to doing. I have set big goals for our country. I want to rebuild a strong and prosperous middle class, and to me, that is the most important job the next president will have here at home. Because if we don't begin to pay attention to the people who do the work and raise the families and make this country great, we will not recognize America in a few years. And I want to make it absolutely clear, I intend to restore America's leadership and our moral authority in the world, and we're going to tackle all of the problems that are going to be inherited because of the current administration, including ending the war in Iraq and bringing our troops home and then giving them the support that they need. And we're going to reform our government. We're going to make sure that it is not the government of the few, by the few, and for the few, but it actually works for every American again. And we're going to reclaim the future for our children. I have done this work for 35 years. It is the work of my lifetime. I have been involved in making it possible for young people to have a better education and for people of all ages to have health care. And that transforming work is what we desperately need in our country again. I am so ready for the rest of this campaign, and I am so ready to lead.
Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. That's the chant of Senator Clinton's supporters at her caucus night headquarters in Des Moines, Iowa. The New York senator sounding very upbeat and confident. However, she appears to have run third today in the Democratic caucus, but just a whisker behind John Edwards. Barack Obama is out in front with 37.5% of the Democratic caucus total.
Hillary Clinton's been talking in her ads and to voters about a new beginning for America, and Hillary Clinton might need something of a new beginning coming up next week in New Hampshire on Tuesday. We're going to go now to Mike Huckabee headquarters in Des Moines. NPR's Ina Jaffe is there. Mike Huckabee has come in first in the Iowa caucuses on the Republican side, handily over Mitt Romney by a margin of about 35% to 24%. Ina, what are you hearing?
Well, right now there are family members and supporters, campaign workers, lining the stage. So there is every likelihood that the governor will be down to talk to his supporters any minute now. The anticipation here, I mean, the whole crowd is just facing the stage, and they have been for minutes. Just incredible anticipation here, waiting to hear from him.
And this was a really quite a remarkable showing, and buoyed by, as we've been saying through the evening, a huge turnout among his evangelical base. Mike Huckabee, of course, a Baptist minister.
Yes, there was a huge turnout for him among evangelicals, and his campaign, though, does realize that they have to broaden that as they go forward. In fact, even in Iowa, towards the end of this campaign, he started talking as much, if not more, about his record as governor of Arkansas, his fiscal record, the times he cut taxes, the jobs he created, the surplus he left, budget surplus he left, and so on, as much or more as when he, as much or more than he talked about values.
We're hearing "We Want Mike." They're waiting there.
Yes,
obviously,
you are hearing "We Want Mike."
Do you have an ETA at all on Mike?
We don't. Our engineer Rob Byers, who is here with me, is going to stand up on his chair and see what he can see, because if I talk into the microphone, I can't see the stage. And so he's Do you see Governor Huckabee yet, Mike?
No.
Rob? No?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
here?
Bob Vanderplas and his wife.
Not quite. No. Not quite Mike Huckabee. Is it the band?
Not quite Mike Huckabee. No. I think we're going to have a few introductions first before the governor actually speaks.
Well, when the governor comes out to speak, we'll try to get back to Des Moines to hear his remarks. Ina Jaffe reporting from Mike Huckabee's headquarters on this caucus night in Iowa. He's the one who's taken the Republican caucus. On the Democratic side, it was Barack Obama. Some news. According to the Associated Press, they're reporting that Senator Chris Dodd of Connecticut is abandoning his Democratic presidential
campaign.
And we've
been talking about the Iowa caucuses as a winnowing factor. A lot of candidates who can't succeed in Iowa drop out quickly, and it appears that Senator Chris Dodd will do just that. You're listening to live coverage of the 2008 caucuses from NPR News.
This is coverage of the Iowa caucuses from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block, and we're going now back to Des Moines, Iowa, and...
Well, we'll find out where we're going back to Des Moines.
Somewhere there.
We're going back to Des Moines, Iowa. We're in the caucuses today. I think we may be at complete reporting of the Democratic caucuses. No, there are still 60 out of almost 1,800 precincts that haven't been counted. It's an Obama win, 37.5%. Edwards, just under 30%. And Hillary Clinton, hundredths of a point behind Edwards.
Could arguably each possibly say they came in second. We are going to go now to Barack Obama headquarters in Des Moines and to NPR's Don Gagne. Don, we have heard from John Edwards. We've heard from Hillary Clinton. Not yet heard from Barack Obama.
Not yet. We expect to hear from him shortly. I tell you, the thing we're hearing right now is there's a drum line going through here.
It sounds like a marching band.
Exactly. They're dressed in yellow. It's kids of all ages. Some of them are only about 3 foot tall. And it's about 10 feet from us, so I hope you can hear me.
I think I hear xylophones at this point.
They're in there as well, yes.
Don, the momentum, let's talk a bit about the momentum for Barack Obama as he comes out of this Iowa caucus with quite a substantial win.
It has to be more than they were even anticipating. I mean, they were hoping that they would have a lot of young people turn out. They were hoping for a really strong turnout. We certainly saw both of those things. But they got everything they wanted. And this is just extremely big as they go into New Hampshire. And the senator has three events planned in New Hampshire starting tomorrow morning. We'll fly there tonight. And he's hitting the ground running.
The pace really picks up also from here, Don. I mean, it's one thing to focus on a couple of states that are voting first, and then you head into this, what they're calling Tsunami Tuesday, of just a huge number. I've lost track of how many it is, 20 states or something voting on February 5th. You have to campaign in a lot of places at once.
They've been able to campaign kind of in two places at once for the most part, Iowa and New Hampshire, going back many, many months now, with the occasional appearance somewhere else around the country. And obviously the intense focus of the last week, week and a half, has been Iowa, with the importance of these caucuses tonight. We're going to get this really intense sprint through New Hampshire. I mean, we've all been living in Iowa, and suddenly it's going to be Tuesday, primary day, next Tuesday in New Hampshire. Then it's on to the next place. So it does really underscore not only how you need the organization to be able to be in all of these places and to be able to compete and put media up and have the transportation you need and everything else, but you need to have the strategy for all these places.
Don Gagne.
Don Gagne getting drowned out by the band at Barack Obama headquarters in Des Moines, and we are going to go now to Mike Huckabee headquarters in Des Moines. Mike Huckabee has come to the podium and is about to address his supporters. He has won the Republican caucuses in Iowa tonight. Let's take a listen.
That I would ever be able to love a state as much as I love my home state of Arkansas, but tonight I love Iowa a whole lot. Over the past several months, my family and I have had the marvelous joy and privilege of getting to know many of you, and it's been an incredible honor. I was thinking last night is that some of the friendships that we've forged here in the last several months are friendships that will last a lifetime. And we didn't know how this was going to turn out tonight, but I knew one thing. I would be forever grateful to the people that I met, the ones who voted for me, even the ones who didn't, who still treated me with respect and who gave me their attention, who allowed me to come often, not just into their communities, but into their homes, not once, but time and time again. And a few of them I even convinced to vote for me tonight, and that's really remarkable. I want to say how much I appreciate my wife, Janet. She was a wonderful First Lady of Arkansas. And I think she'll be a wonderful First Lady for the United States of America. We also want to say thanks. Our three children are with us tonight. I would like them to come and just be a part of this tonight. They have all been so much involved. Our oldest son, John Mark, our son, David, his wife, Lauren, our daughter, Sarah, who has literally lived in Iowa for the past 2.5 months. And I told her if she stayed much longer, she'll have to get her an Iowa driver's license and probably start paying even more taxes up here. But. And I say thanks to all of them for joining with us in this effort, because a family goes through it, not just the candidate. But tonight it's a celebration for everybody on our team, so many of you who have traveled from all across America to be here. I'm amazed, but I'm encouraged, because tonight what we have seen is a new day in American politics. A new day is needed in American politics, just like a new day is needed in American government. And tonight, it starts here in Iowa, but it doesn't end here. It goes all the way through the other states and ends at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue 1 year from now.
We've been listening to Mike Huckabee in Des Moines, the former governor of Arkansas, who has been declared the winner of the Republican Iowa caucuses tonight over Mitt Romney by a margin of about 35% to 24%, buoyed by a large turnout among his evangelical base. Mike Huckabee, of course, a former Baptist preacher, saying that this is a new day in American politics. We're going now to NPR's Mara Liasson in Des Moines. Mara has been watching all the results tonight. And Mara, this is, I guess, not necessarily a surprise, although we would have been not saying that just a couple of months ago. This is a very rapid turnaround for Mike Huckabee.
For Mike Huckabee, yes, definitely a big surprise. I think the margin by which he won was a big surprise. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people thought Mitt Romney was coming back, and that if Huckabee won, it wouldn't be by this big of a spread.
Mara, a year ago, this is a man who is best known for weight loss.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
he's
right.
Come a
lost
very,
110
very,
pounds.
Yes.
He's come a really, really long way. And, you know, a couple of months ago, nobody heard of Mike Huckabee. He was outspent 20-1. I think he still only has about $2 million that he's in the bank. But this was a stunning night for Mike Huckabee. I think the story of tonight is the victory of the insurgents. They were very different kinds of insurgents, Obama and Huckabee, but they both ran against the establishment figures in their party. You know, on the Democratic side, this was a stinging defeat for basically not only the national front runner, but the reigning family of Democratic politics. So two big upsets here, I would say.
We are also joined, I understand, Mara, you have there with you former Congressman Jim Leach, a Republican from Iowa. Is he there with you now?
Yes, he's actually coming into the chair, and I'm going to be taking off my headphones and giving them to him.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Have a conversation with former Congressman Jim Leach.
Congressman Leach?
Getting settled in the chair.
Leach, former
I'm with you.
Hi, senior member of the House of Representatives until a couple of years ago, and former chairman of the House Banking Committee. Welcome to the program.
Well, I'm glad to be with you.
Republican vote today, very, very heavily evangelical Christian. The winner is a right-to-life Republican, a Baptist minister in the past. Are you, as a Republican, at all tempted to look elsewhere right now and consider perhaps a third candidacy more redolent of the old Rockefeller wing of the Republican Party?
Well, I think within the Republican Party, the Rockefeller wing is marginalized to the point of virtual non-existence. What we have is a new kind of grouping. In the 50s, beginning under Ike, the first term of Southern strategy was uttered, and then it developed a little bit more under Nixon, then Reagan. But today, it's a Southern Republican Party, and the question is whether there'll be a Northern strategy as well. And that is a very open question. On the other hand, forgetting where people are coming on the issues, Governor Huckabee should be given credit for having real gifts at a communicative level and in touch with people. Sometimes we forget, even though there's competition within churches just as there is within politics, that one of the duties of pastors is to deal with people in difficult times. And you had a sense with Huckabee that he understood people better than the other Republican candidates and spoke, oddly, with a little more compassion than some of the other Republican candidates.
He connected with them, you think?
He connected. Yeah. He connected, and they knew he was part of them. And the others were talking kind of the tough, curmudgeonly Republican talk, and the country wants something very, very different.
Well, what's your judgment, though? You've seen candidates run, if not win in the Iowa caucuses, run strong, such people as Steve Forbes, Pat Robertson, men who did not go on to become the Republican nominee. Is what you're seeing from Mike Huckabee right now, do you think he has legs to go and win in New Hampshire, win in South Carolina, win
well,
in
the
Big
I don't think he's going to win New Hampshire or win all of the states, but I think he has at least a 1 in 3 chance at the nomination. He's got the vice presidency virtually sewed up if he wants it and has an outside shot at the presidential nomination. But I suspect that this win may mean that the Republicans may be going to a convention where there's no decision in advance. For example, if you look at future states, New Hampshire would appear to be a kind of a shootout between Governor Romney and John McCain. South Carolina could be between Romney, McCain, and Huckabee. Florida could be all Giuliani's.
You're
Michigan.
Actually raising the mythical specter of the brokered convention for us already in this, well, you know, in this process?
It's not mythical. It happens to be closer to the first part of the 20th century than the second.
I think it last happened in 1952, didn't it? It's not something that happens very often at all.
It doesn't happen very often,
no.
But it sure looks likely. And by the way, I do not rule it out for the Democratic Party either.
Okay. Well, Jim Leach, that's former Iowa Republican Congressman Jim Leach. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Well, honored to be with you.
Let's bring Rich Lowry into this conversation. Rich Lowry of the National Review. Rich, you heard what Congressman Leach was saying there. What do you make of that?
Well, you never know. And there's all every primary contest, there are always some people saying there's going to be a broker convention. And especially journalists and reporters love the idea.
What would be more fun than that?
But I think the other big winner tonight, besides Mike Huckabee, is John McCain, who currently is tied for third, who was surging in New Hampshire prior to this result. If this plays out the way these things usually play out, Romney is going to sag further in New Hampshire, where he's already a little bit behind McCain, and McCain could win a blowout victory there. And McCain, after that, would stand a chance of becoming the consensus mainstream conservative alternative to Huckabee and Rudy Giuliani. And in that case, John McCain would have to be favored, in my view, to win the nomination.
Okay. Rich Lowry, editor of the National Review, thanks so much. We've been talking about the results from the Iowa caucuses. And again, to recap, Mike Huckabee on the Republican side, the winner over his rival Mitt Romney. On the Democratic side, Senator Barack Obama with about 38% of the vote, coming in just behind him, actually not just behind him, but just close with each other, John Edwards and Hillary Clinton at about 30% each. You're listening to live coverage of the 2008 caucuses from NPR News.
Thank you.
From NPR News, this is live coverage of the 2008 Iowa caucuses. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Two big winners in the Iowa caucuses tonight. One, Democrat Barack Obama emerged from what was essentially a three-way tie with Hillary Clinton and John Edwards to take first place. Another Democratic senator, Chris Dodd of Connecticut, finished out of the top three, and he is ending his campaign for the White House.
Finished well out of the top three, came in Iowa with about 0.02% of those who showed up. On the Republican side, Mike Huckabee surged from far back in a large pack of candidates to claim a convincing victory, 34% to 25% over Mitt Romney. Now, Republican Senator John McCain is not in Iowa tonight. He is campaigning in New Hampshire, where he's spent much of his time. The Granite State holds its primary on Tuesday. It's a primary that McCain won 8 years ago. In Iowa, John McCain came in far behind Mike Huckabee and also behind Mitt Romney, who came in second. McCain is placing his hopes on New Hampshire, where polls show him in a very close race with Romney and where he's been campaigning heavily. Here he is speaking in New Hampshire this evening.
Sometime tomorrow we will have our 100th town hall meeting here in the state of New Hampshire. We just had a great one tonight with my friend Joe Lieberman. We can feel the momentum, that the same kind of momentum we felt in 2000. I'm very confident with a strong, positive finish here that we're going to win here in New Hampshire and go on to Michigan and South Carolina.
And following the strategy that his campaign has laid out, John McCain downplayed the effect of the Iowa caucus on the New Hampshire race.
I really don't know how the Iowa caucuses affect here in New Hampshire. I think really New Hampshire voters kind of decide independently in many ways, but also independently on what's happening in other states, pretty much.
That's Republican Senator John McCain speaking this evening in New Hampshire.
NPR's Audie Cornish is in Manchester, New Hampshire, covering election night for Arizona Senator John McCain. We just heard a bit of what the Arizona senator said earlier. What do you think about this theory that we heard it expressed a moment ago by Rich Lowry of the National Review, that because Romney has been bested in Iowa by Mike Huckabee, the stage is set for McCain to do still better in New Hampshire against Romney?
Well, John McCain is certainly, he's not going to say that he thinks that this is going to mean a red carpet for him, but he is running neck and neck with Mitt Romney in the state currently, and it's a different kind of voter than what Huckabee may have been able to enjoy in Iowa. Evangelicals are a third of what they are for the GOP here in New Hampshire, and fiscal conservatives and independents that McCain has been campaigning very hard for this time around were his constituency back in 2000 when he first won a primary here. So he's hoping to repeat that win, and in a way, Huckabee's win maybe opens the door or nudges it open a little bit more for him to make a move against Romney.
We heard Senator McCain speak of his friend Joe Lieberman, the independent Democratic senator from Connecticut who has endorsed him. Seems as though his problem has not been with independents, Senator McCain's problem. It's with Republicans. Republicans who think that he's too much the maverick, not loyal enough on such issues as taxes or immigration. What sense do you get at all about what Republicans make of John McCain now?
Well, when it comes to taxes, things are good for McCain here in New Hampshire. Although he has taken some flack for in the past not backing President Bush's tax cuts in the past, he's come around in some ways. And whereas with immigration, that's something he said even today, that could still trip us up, that could still come up. And when I talk to voters out at events, not just McCain events, but other GOP events, immigration has always come up as a stumbling block for McCain over the last 6 months, and it's no different here in New Hampshire. So the difference will be, will the topics he wants to talk about move to the forefront, such as the war in Iraq and fiscal conservatism, rather than these things that have tripped him up, like immigration?
That's Audie Cornish, NPR's Audie Cornish, speaking to us from Manchester, New Hampshire.
And now back to Iowa. NPR's Alex Cohen is in East Des Moines in the Sherman Hill neighborhood, Precinct 65. Is that right, Alex?
That's correct, and it's actually the west side of downtown.
Sorry about that. And
quite
you are
right
at a caucus site right now?
No, I'm actually back here at NPR headquarters. The caucus wrapped up a little while ago, but it was one of the most beautiful, messy, dramatic political events I've ever seen.
Well, tell me about it. What'd you see?
Well, there was record turnout at Precinct 65 4 years ago. They had 60 people turn out tonight. There was over 200, an amazing turnout for Barack Obama. He had more than 100 people standing in his group, so they tried to pull a little bit of a power play, get some of their folks over to Joe Biden to try to knock Senator Edwards out of the race. Drama ensued.
And so you got to watch some of this arm-twisting, wrangling, horse-trading in action.
Yes, and in fact, one caucus-goer came down to the wire. She didn't know what to do. She had friends in the Edwards camp. She had friends in the Obama camp. She had come in originally for Kucinich. Last minute, it came down to a game of rock, paper, scissors. Rock won. She went over to Obama.
What were you hearing there? It's a scientific result is always coming out of the Iowa caucus.
Yes, yes. It's a heavy, deep political decision or just a game of rock, paper, scissors.
What were you hearing from Obama supporters and, for that matter, from Edwards, Clinton supporters about what brought them there and how attached they were to their candidate?
Well, the Obama people were very attached to their candidate and very passionate. One of the interesting things that happened once they tried to do this rally and their team captain said, look, guys, if we send 30 of you over to Joe Biden, we'll knock Senator Edwards out of the race. A couple of people in the Obama camp got very upset. They said, look, the reason why we're for Obama is he's about change. He's not about political games. We feel like this Biden play is a political game. We won't go for it. So they were very much about Obama's approach to, I'm going to be someone different. I'm going to be someone new. I'm going to bring change.
Anybody there mention an issue to you that was important to them besides the overarching theme of change?
The war. The war was a very big issue for people here in this neighborhood of Sherman Hill. A lot of them were looking for the situation in Iraq to end as quickly as possible. There were actually quite a few in the first go-around, Bill Richardson supporters, and a number of folks I talked to said the reason why we're for Richardson is first and foremost the war. He's the only candidate that we've heard from that says, I'll get out of Iraq as quickly as possible, and that's why they were there. But Bill Richardson was not viable in this group, so a number of those folks went over to Obama. Okay. And I think some cookies were involved in that.
Okay, Alex. Thanks so much. NPR's sure Alex thing. Cohen in Des Moines.
Well, that was just one caucus where Obama prevailed. As a result of that happening in many, many caucuses all over the state of Iowa, he's the winner. And our Don Gagne is at Obama Caucus Night headquarters in Des Moines, where I assume, Don, they're waiting for their man to come out and talk to the group.
This crowd is eagerly waiting for Senator Obama to come out. They've heard from the political director. They've heard from the assistant political director. They've heard from the drum line that just went through a little bit ago.
And the band has moved on.
The band has moved. Well, they're dancing just not too far from me without their drums. So we can talk, I guess. It's a courtesy they're offering us. But we're waiting for the senator. He should be coming out any moment to really fire up a crowd that doesn't need anything else to fire them up. I can tell you they're really, really excited here.
Some of those directors you mentioned have talked about the results in Iowa and the Iowa Democratic caucuses really exceeding the expectations of the Obama campaign in some respects.
Absolutely. It seems like everything they wished for, they got. And that doesn't typically happen. I mean, they got independents who turned out in a big way. The young people, The word was, well, they're enthusiastic, but they've never caucused before. Will they really give it the 2 hours that it takes on a cold Thursday night in early January in Iowa? And all of those things happened. And I was out at a caucus site earlier today, and again, it was one of those things where last time around they had 360 people show up. This time there were 623 in the room, and Obama just he dominated again there.
Well, NPR's Don Gagne at Obama Caucus Night headquarters, where the winning Democratic candidate is expected shortly to address his supporters. We've already heard from John Edwards and from Hillary Clinton.
Barack Obama talks about the audacity of hope. It certainly seems to have paid off. That audacity of hope has paid off in Iowa tonight. You're listening to live coverage of the 2008 Iowa caucuses from NPR News.